The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, 24th day of May, 2012. The Dow down 40 points on the session, S&P down 4.5, comp down 19, crude up $1.10, gold up 18. The NASDAQ very apologetic about all that happened with the Facebook, and the Facebook looking to move from the NASDAQ potentially over to the New York Stock Exchange. And that's about all the news I got. We're looking at the S&P 500 E-mini futures chart in front of you. As you can see, overnight we traded above our weekly zone, or yesterday afternoon on that rally. We traded up above our weekly zone at 13.10.11. We've got another zone up above here. We pulled back. We held this pullback here on the hourly chart, and then we held it here. And then we even held it here, off the London Open. Actually, we closed, it looks like, a tick or two below the zone. So it held. Now, it was resistance here, took us down to this level at 96.97. We were able to rally through it. It held a support, support. We got a high today of 13.2350. and now we're pulling back. So this will be a key area on this pullback. Is it going to hold? Because the markets have started to drop. I mean, we've had a, you know, pretty decent up day. And between the time we ended the live trading room this morning and the time we started the radio broadcast, this has all happened in the past hour. We dropped from a high of 2025 to a low of 1312. So I think that's what they call a precipitous drop. Is that correct, Michael?
I believe that. Yeah, that could pretty well be defined by the word precipitous.
Would you call it precipitous? I have no idea what that means, but it kind of just, it felt right, so I said it. Okay. Other than that, I don't really have anything to rant about or carry on about.
Come on.
Pandora's up $1.62 a share. I don't know why. Are you familiar with Pandora?
Oh, yes, I am. I am intimately familiar with Pandora.
No, I'm not talking about the lady with the box. I'm talking about the app.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, that
Pandora. I am familiar with that as well. But it's up the other one, too. It's my anniversary tomorrow. As I was so subtly reminded this morning.
Oh, Jim, well, happy anniversary.
Yeah. Thanks. That's yet to be seen.
Pandora, a very interesting business model. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's beyond the scope of this radio program for me to explain it, other than to say you go there and you tell it who you like, and it will play you songs by people that they think are like the people that you like. Is that Pandora? No, that's Last FM. Pandora, I think.
Pandora is internet radio,
well,
sort of thing.
They both are, right. But
yeah,
one of them, maybe it's Pandora where you can just go and say, I want to listen to a bunch of Frank Sinatra songs, and it'll play you straight Sinatra. And then the other Last FM, you go and say, I like this guy and this guy and this guy. And then it plays you some of them, but then it plays you people that you should like based upon the fact that you like this guy. I think that's how Pandora works, too.
Yeah, I think you can do sort of a shuffle like that.
Because they get their money off of playing songs that you might not hear. And so the music publishers are paying to get those played. You know, I used it a few times, but then I thought it was pretty neat, but it's not something I use every day. And whenever I look around myself and around the landscape of this thing called the internet, and I, you know, some things have really taken off, some things are hanging on, and I ask myself, you know, what do I use? What things are relevant to me? What are applications that perhaps I could not live without? And, it's a pretty short list. Not that the app, you know, if you look at my iPad or my iPhone, there's no short list of apps there. I got a lot of apps. I got apps for all kinds of things. There's one app on my iPhone and iPad that I almost use daily. That is TuneIn Radio, because I can listen to CFRN and other radio stations. Beyond that, I don't think there is a single app on my iPhone or my iPad that I use on a daily basis. There's some that I've told myself I'm going to use on a daily basis. Like, there's one for taking notes. It's really popular among all the geeky tech folk. And because you know how you always have clever ideas, and then you go, man, I need to write this down because I'll forget it later. And then you don't, and then you do. Well, the emblem, their logo, it's called Evernote. Evernote. It's like an internet darling out there in the Silicon Valley. Everybody's crazy about the Evernote. I gotta say that the iPhone and iPad, they come with an app. Factory Direct. It's like a legal pad where you just write stuff down. The only difference is that it doesn't sync to the cloud. Well, you know what? Now that they've released the iCloud, maybe the legal pad for taking notes in iOS 5 does sync to the cloud. See, I don't take notes. I should take notes. I could come to the show every day with, you know, a litany of things to laugh and rant about if I took notes, but I don't. So I guess that's my lesson for today, folks. Learn to use your apps. Come on. Get off your couch. Go use your app. Get off your app and use it. For those of you yesterday that missed the show, we had Miss Robin Dane, the Traders Coach, with us. And on the blog last night, I posted a little information about her. And our friend Mike Reed, the Trade Stalker, who's been at this for 27 years, emailed me a comment regarding the interview. He was in the background listening. He said, "Dwayne, your guest covered a topic that's more detrimental to 90% of traders than anything else." And I thought the way he worded that was very, it speaks volumes. He could have said, "Dwayne, your guest covered a topic that's very important to most traders." But he said, "Your guest covered a topic that's detrimental to 90% of traders." And again, that speaks volumes, because sometimes it's not about what can help you, but it's about what cannot hurt you. And see, there's pain in that statement, detrimental. We do look forward to producing a weekly show with Robin in the near future. If you missed yesterday's interview, you can click the headphones right here. Go in about 30 minutes. That's where the interview started. Of course, you can each and every day click here to listen to the day's show. But your best bet is to go here, subscribe to us on iTunes. You never miss an episode. And while you're there, be so kind as to leave a review. We appreciate that very much. Now, I had threatened that I would make no more of those repetitive videos, but I grew concerned that perhaps someone on YouTube would become worried that I had either blown up or stepped in front of a bus. So, to put everyone's fears at rest, I decided to go ahead and just make another video, but I did it the smart way. I did all the notation beforehand, okay? Oh, so I do take notes. I did the notation beforehand, and so I was able to pull off what would have typically been one of my 30 to 40 minute videos. I did it in like 6.5 minutes. Now, the fact that I had burgers grilling at the same time, that kind of helped me speed through it. So if you hear me kind of rushing at the end there, it's because I'm starting to smell something burn. So watch it. It covers every single trade setup yesterday. Now, Michael went through the trade setups yesterday in the trading room, or when he did the recap, just as he's going to do here in a minute as soon as I hush. But I go from midnight to the... I did this at about 6 p.m. Pacific time last night. I cover every trade setup. There was a plethora of setups yesterday. 9 times... the system got stopped out on this particular trade setup. 9 times stopped out. We always calculate 2 points for the stop plus a quarter tick for slip. So 9 times 2 is 18 plus a quarter tick for the slips, 20.25. Here's the amazing thing. At the end of the day, after we subtract all of the stops and throw out 50% of the good stuff, it was still a very productive day. I don't like throwing those big numbers out because I think it causes people to have unrealistic expectations about what they should take away from the market each day. If you come to the live trading room, we'll talk more about that. I highlighted just a couple of the trades, and any one of these trades should give you more than sufficient You should if this doesn't meet your daily goal, you need to reevaluate what your daily goal is. And if you're taking this one and then jumping into this one and then going after this one, I'd really like to know why. Okay? Here's what I suggest. Watch the video. It's on the blog. You'll see every single trade up beginning at 12 p.m. Central Daylight Time yesterday. After being stopped out those nine times, the final realistic net results are very compelling. So I want you to watch the video, and I want you to ask yourself if you could turn the corner to profitability by using a time-tested method that does nothing more than capture the very essence of the market itself. And I really want you to ask yourself that question. Now, you're not going to really know the answer until you actually put it to the test. You can look at the charts, watch the videos, take the free trial, learn the setups, trade them in the simulator, take a hit off your inhaler, and then write your own ticket. Or there's the other option. You can continue the search. I mean, hey, it's got to be out there somewhere, right? Follow us on the Google Plus, the Pinterest, the Twitter, the Facebook, the iTunes. If there's cool kids there, so are we. We're everywhere. We're all over the net. We got that thing covered. Oh, hey, and download the toolbar, too, because I'm getting ready to add some new features. I'm not going to burden you with all of the great features that are already a part of it, but I'm adding some new stuff, and so get your hands on it because it's free. All right? Michael, I better stop, let you do the recap.
All right. All right, yeah, because Mike Reed's in the house.
Hey, Mike Reed.
So let me...
All right, do the recap, and then we'll talk to Mike.
Let me get my recap going. All right. All right, good afternoon. Today is Thursday, May 24th, 2012. I'm going to go over all the stuff we did in the live trading room this morning. Results, I'm up 16 ticks ES, 16 ticks YM, and 4 ticks NASDAQ. Those are the results of the morning session. 16 there, 4 there, and 16 there. To everyone who is in here who is listening, who is on a free trial, there's a partners meeting tonight. You need to be a partner to get into it. If you do not know how to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net, and I'll get the information out to you. There's still time to become a partner before tonight. If you have not taken the free trial for CFRN, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, and there's no credit card required or anything like that. Thanks, Wayne. With the free trial, I'll show you all those results again in just a second. With the free trial, you get all the stuff you are about to see here. Okay, should be to my charts now. Thanks, Dwayne and John. Okay, let's do this again. We're up 16 ticks ES, 4 ticks NASDAQ, and 16 YM. Okay, now I'm going to go over all the trade setups that we had, because the rest of it was just audio. All right. I'll start out with the NQ. I missed a whole bunch of trades on the NQ. I took a few losing trades, a couple of losing trades. I took a couple of winning trades. Somehow we ended up positive on the day. All right. Let's go. Yeesh. Let me make that a little smaller. There we go. All right. Here was the start of the morning right here. I mean, in this trade right here, that's a day maker right there. You know, you can be in and out and done in the first 10 minutes. That said, we had a bearish cross over here, okay? The cycle was moving down. We look for the divergence right here between the green line and the red line. It pulled back up to the BBC. That's our test right there. It tests the BBC for resistance. The BBC provided the resistance we were looking for. Give us a down close in the direction of the trade. That's the spot to enter your short right there, and bang. Down it went a whole long way down too. 47 and a half, all the way down to, let's just say 33 and a half, so it's easier to do the math. What's that, 13 points? 14 points? 14 points. That's, you know, whatever that is, $280, something like that per contract. Anyway, it was a nice move down right there. That was the only opportunity on the way down. That took 10 minutes. Right here, there was bullish divergence, tested the BBC, went up. Again, same thing here. Bullish divergence, tested the BBC, went up close, and it went up. It reversed over here, tested the BBC, gave a down close, and it went down. And again, over here, the same thing. This was the first trade I took this morning. We had bullish divergence, tested the BBC, gave an up close, and I went long. I got out a little early on that one. There was another one right here, tested the BBC, and it went long. Another one here, tested the BBC for a long. I took a short over here. We had a test of the BBC with a down close. I went short. I didn't take profit, or I didn't move my stop. Stopped me out for minus 8 ticks, I believe. Over here, we had another one, tested the BBC, and right here was the actual down close. I got short right over here. It went down, but I had moved my stop up to break even, and it got me out of break even. Over here, bullish, tested the BBC, up close, bullish divergence, tested the BBC with an up close, and you can see that that one went up significantly. Let's see, I shorted over here. We had bearish divergence with a test of the BBC and a down close. I shorted there, took a little profit. There was another long right in here, tested the BBC with the up close, gave a little bit of profit over here. Tested the BBC with the up close. I took that one, took a little bit of profit. This one right here had a test of the BBC with an up close, and this was not a very high quality trade right here because the cycle was headed down. Either way, it stopped me out. Turned around. I missed this one right here. Tested the BBC with a down close. Moved down. Over here, same thing. Tested the BBC with a down close, and that one I took and made a little bit of profit, and that was the last one that I took. Let's see, in the time that, during the break and in the time that Dwayne was talking, there was another one right here who had tested the BBC with a down close. Right now it's messy, but yeah, we really, right here I guess, we had a little tiny bit of bullish divergence, tested the BBC and gave an up close, but there's not really much else going on right there now on the NQ. Alright, so you see I had a few losing trades and a few winning trades. On the YM, I didn't have many trades here on the YM today. There were quite a few trades that set up. Let's see. Right here at the open, we had bearish divergence here. We were waiting for it to drop down through the zone. Once it finally did, we shorted right here and we took profit right here. Okay. The next opportunity was going long. It tested the BBC. You see the MA1 moved up above the BBC and it pulled back down to it right here with an up close right there for a long opportunity. Right here, the MA1 dropped below the BBC. The MA1 is the red and blue line. The BBC is the green line. Just FYI. It dropped down, pulled back up to the BBC, gave a down close with the bearish divergence for the move down. Did it again right there. Over here, same thing. Again, the up close, and it moved up. Again, right there, and again, right there. And over here, it didn't actually test the BBC, so there was no trade. See, I didn't have anything in here marked off, so I either wasn't paying attention or it didn't happen. But right here you can see we had the bearish divergence right there. That's not the best trade because the cycle is moving up right there, so you know, I may or may not have taken it. But right there is where you would have been looking to get short. Over here, the same scenario, but this is going into a zone, so I know I wouldn't have taken that. A long trade right here that went nowhere. This probably would have stopped out. Again, the cycle's red. It wasn't really headed down, though, so I probably would have taken that and stopped out. Over here, though it didn't really test the BBC. Right over here, we had bearish divergence. It did test it here, and it made a nice move down into the zone. Let's see, where else has it tested it? Not right there, but it didn't give an up close. And right here, this just happened while I was making this video. Right there, we had bullish divergence, tested the BBC, and gave an up close. So on this particular one, you would have been looking to enter right there at 12441. All right. That was the YM. We didn't take trades anywhere but the YM, NQ, and ES this morning. Now I'm going to go through the ES. Today was, there weren't near as many trades as there were yesterday in the first 2 hours. All right. We didn't have any news events after the open this morning, and I think that played into it a little bit. The first trade of the day was right here. It pulled up to the BBC, right? And we shorted it on its way up. We shorted it right here. I believe we got in at 13.18 even on this. We ended up taking 2 points profit on this. The trade actually ran to a total of 4.25 points profit. But, you know, I'm just going to show, well, I took all the trades that could be taken this morning in the live trading room. Okay, on the ES. Now I shorted here. I took 2 points there, and it ran a total of 4.25 points. I shorted again when it pulled back over here. I took 1 point profit right here, and it ran 2.25 points. So far we had 6.75 points available. Then everything just got really, really choppy in here. You see how the BBC crossed up above the MA1. I'm sorry, the MA1 crossed up above the BBC. I said that backwards. The MA1 crossed up above the BBC, and price didn't support it crossing up above it. Everything flattened out in here, and we were waiting for a move away from that. We finally got the move away right here. And when price pulled back down to the BBC, I was ready to buy, and I did. When I bought it at 13.20, I believe. Yeah, I did. I bought it at 13.20. And it went up to 13.21, giving us 1 point profit potential in the trade. I did not move my stop or anything like that. I ended up getting stopped out on that trade. It came here and stopped me out to the tick. And then went back up to my break-even point. It would have gone through my stop by one tick if I'd have stayed in it. Anyway, there was 1 point profit potential in the trade, but it did stop me out. It went sideways here for a little while. Okay, and we didn't have another opportunity in here because as this crossed up, we were looking for a bar to close away from the BBC. We didn't get that. I originally had an order on here because I thought this bar had closed and this bar was going to start up here. But I was mistaken and I took that order off. So there was not an additional trade in here. And that was the end of the morning session on the ES. Okay, that was all there was for us. I took 2 points here, 1 point here. Lost two there, and nothing else. So I ended up on the ES. And that's it. And it's 12:30, right on the dot. If anybody has any questions about any of this stuff, you can email me at support@cfrn.net. That's support@cfrn.net. You can also, you know, you can, most of you guys probably have my phone number. You can call me and ask me questions. Or you can just type them in here, and I'll be happy to answer them. All right? Again, if you're on a free trial and you want to become a partner to get into the partners meeting tonight, you need to let us know as soon as possible so we can get you all the information you need. If you're on a free trial and you don't have the information you need to become a partner, again, just let us know somehow. Call us in the email that I sent, or there's a phone number on the original email that you had when you signed up for the trial. You can call that one. Somehow, let us know and we'll get you the information before the meeting tonight. All right? That's it. I'm going to stop the recording. There we go. Recording is stopped. All right. Mike Reed, I hear you.
Hi. Hi, Michael.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
How you doing?
Hello, Mike.
I am all right.
This was like a good day, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was not too many trades. I missed a ton of trades on the NQ and on the YM, but you know, I do that every day.
So that's the end result, right?
Yep, it's the end result that matters.
Yeah.
Both the NQ and the YM actually have short trades going right here. Well, just about to set up. Short trades just about to set up.
So,
Mike, you listened to the interview yesterday with Robin?
Pardon me, do I? Yeah. She's going to be a real good addition, Dwayne.
Well, thank you. I think so. I really do.
Yeah, kind of. That was a really good interview yesterday, and the psychological part is this huge factor. I mean, you can have everything down pat as far as your analysis and that, but actual what you call them, blocks, I mean, we all have them at some sort. Even I do to this day have some blocks, but...
Even Charlie Brown,
yeah, that's,
you know, we used to call him Blockhead. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Blockhead, yeah. Yeah. You know, I guess there's always something to learn, you know, and learning yourself is a big, big part of trading, so... yeah, that was really good. I don't know how many, she's probably maybe the only person that does this, or she's, I don't know, she sounds very good, but I don't think she'd, I don't think she'd be open for clients.
You know, I think there are a few people who dabble in the field, but quite mm-hmm. often many of them dabble over into what I would call psychobabble. And she doesn't. She seems to be pretty well focused on the task at hand, and the fact that she does trade as well. I think that alone speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 She knows what it's about.
It does make her unique.
Sure does. What's gonna say? Can't think of it now, but there's something good about her.
Now, well, let me ask you this, Mike. You've been at this 27 years.
Oh, 30. That was an old
30, okay.
82. But, yeah, who's counting?
Who's counting? Okay. When you got going, you had no one to teach you the psychology of trading. In fact, did you have anyone to even teach you... any setups initially? I know you worked with Dick Diamond for a while, but did you kind of figure things out on your own? How'd you get
just about completely?
Okay.
With the exception, there was a charting package that came out. I guess that's where I got my start with doing internal indicators. Was a program called TIP, Technical Indicator Program, and it worked on an Apple IIc computer, and it calculated some oscillators. One of them was a McClellan oscillator, which I shared in that video the other day, but that's been around forever. But yeah, that was the only thing I had for as far as, like, when I spoke with Dick Diamond, he asked me, one of the first things he asked me was, what makes you object to the market? Yeah, I guess I really don't understand this question. I don't object. I don't object. I love to trade the market. There's no objections on my part. He says, no, what makes you determine, you know, up or down, what price movement? What makes you object to the current price movement?
Mm-hmm.
Make you enter. So that's what he meant. And I don't know, I really didn't have anything to go on. Other than some things that I kind of dreamed up or was working on my own with, you know, pencil and paper and calculator and whatnot, looking at the charts. But no, I basically self-taught. From there on, Dick taught me basically a lot about risk control and some money management stuff, because I would let big profits turn into no profits and that kind of thing. And also, so he started me with the internal indicators. So, but that was about it. Otherwise, I'd just been doing this on my own. So, and my own work and my own indicators to, like, help me out with, for market timing, and which they said back then that you couldn't time the market, but basically, it's just timing the trade setup, but anyhow, that was my early go at it, Dwayne.
And how long did it take, Mike, for you to turn the corner?
Well, it took probably 5 years of hard work before everything, you know, was pretty well set where I knew what I was going to do on a daily basis. For instance, I learned about the counter trend open, the contra open trend, trade, that's where we look for a turn in the first 20 to 40 minutes. That was bread and butter for years. I just worked, I probably worked 4 out of 5 days, a week where you'd open, if you'd open higher, you get, a higher or low in the first 20 to 40 minutes. And then a counter trend move. If the move was strong, then you probably had a high end for the morning or for the day. If the move was wimpy, then you had just a pullback in the trend, ongoing trend. So it was pretty basic rule. And you just had to watch price action for entry and trade management and the like. But that was one of the early things that was a trade, and it's still a trade to this day. And then some other things, you know, just along the way, things just kind of build up, but all basically, observations. And, you know, I didn't read a whole lot of books on trading. There really weren't a whole lot. There were some things on commodities trading, but really not a lot on index trading. I did get some things from, broker on some technical analysts like Peter Elides and oh, he had Brecker stuff too, Elliott Wade stuff, but anyhow, that was some of the things that gave me some ideas of my own. I really don't want to follow anybody, but so yeah, that was my road at the beginning, and it took a while. You know, I was a little, wonder boy, you know, I thought it was. If you go to the, onto our website, I think it was 1987-crash.htm, I believe is a web link, but yeah, it tells a story of back in the day, back in 1980, before 87 and into the crash. Kind of tell my story of what was happening.
I saw that old trade ticket that you posted the other day on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere.
Oh, did that go up? Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of the websites on our webpage. So, yeah, that was an over in the old days with the OEX options. So they traded before they came out with the S&Ps and well before E-minis.
So, what does OEX stand for? Or better yet, what is it?
It's the S&P 100 index.
Okay.
So it pretty much follows the S&P.
Okay, so there's the OEX, which is the 100, and then there's the mid-cap 400. Is that another one?
There's a mid-cap. Yeah, I haven't traded that. The OEX options were the most liquid, the most traded options back in those days. I don't know if they still are or not. I haven't traded the OEXs for quite a while, but that was the mainstay back then.
Bert, are you on the line? Bert's not on the
Bert.
Line.
Call for Bert.
Bert. You clean up on aisle 4. Bert. That guy. So, what are your thoughts on the market today, Mike?
Well, we had a double top at resistance, which was a nice trade set up. 1323 last Thursday was also, I think they had a double top there early going, and then that was the spot where the last push down started from. They went right down to 1300, I think that day, 1300 and a half, and then the next day we made a low on Friday. But, Yeah, that's where that last pushdown started. It was from 1323 on Thursday at Double Top, and that was more resistance area for us today. 1322.50 to 23.50 zone. And we've since come down to support, was it 1312 and a half? We've broken through that by a bit. But, there's the transition area is a ways above, is at 1318. And then I have to get back above 1318 to get back into an uptrend bullish bias for me at the moment. Either that or sell off further. So we could go down to 1308 area would be the next support or just below that. That's it on the downside. I think our high is in place. If not, if we get back over 1318 and it can hold that area and then are able to go back up and push through that, all those highs up there, that would be surprising. But if they were able to pull that off, then possibly up to 1328. But, I really don't see that happening today. How about you guys on your side?
I don't know that I have a big picture outlook where I think there's 1310, 1311, which is a weekly zone. It seems to be holding so far.
Mm-hmm.
We came down and bounced off of it, that 2223 area up there. And there's plenty of room to trade between here and there if that becomes the range for the day. So beyond that, I have no...
Trying to think, do we have any number out in the morning? Michael?
In the morning, let me just check that. I'll tell you. Sure. We didn't have anything today. Actually, there was a ton of stuff today globally.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of things, but it was all pre-market. We didn't have anything after the open.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tomorrow, I'm going there. It's loading. We have nothing. Well, hang on. No, we have University of Michigan consumer sentiment. Expectations, and probably later in the day, the Treasury currency report.
But we have nothing high impact.
Right, nothing high impact. Those are both listed as medium impact.
Mm-hmm.
So the revised one.
There's not even...
Are we going up the Barron's, Barron's side, or which?
Forex Factory.
Forex Factory.
Okay.
We have an economic calendar in the members area of our site, but I have to log in to go look at that. So sometimes it's easier to just go look at the one.
That's provided by Forex Pros.
Forex Factory. We use the one that's provided by Forex Pros. This morning, the unemployment claims were better than expected, correct?
They were pretty much flat, actually. The way they came in this morning, they were expecting 372 and they got 370 or the other way around. I think it didn't list it as a bullish or bearish indication. What was it? 370 is what it came in as, and they expected 372. We also had core durable goods came in lower than anticipated. They're expecting 1.1% on that. We came in at -0.6, which is a big difference, and that's a high impact. That was pretty bearish. Durable goods orders month over month came in, significantly lower than expected. They expected plus 0.5% on that, and it came in at 0.2%. That's medium impact. That's what we had pre-market. We also had flash manufacturing PMI, and we had a couple FOMC members. One's due to speak here in about 15 minutes.
For those of you
speak all the time
listening to the show who... Maybe you're here in the U.S. and you trade the overnight session, Globex, because you have a day job and that's the hours you have available to trade. Or maybe you're one of our partners or one of our listeners who's, across the pond. And if you're across the pond, and you probably already know this, and I don't need to tell you this, But for those in the U.S., we always watch for the big news events, you know, Fed numbers, unemployment numbers, all of that type of thing. But last night, or I should say this morning, at 3:30 a.m. Eastern time, there was German flash manufacturing PMI, which is a high-impact news event. Now, is it going to have that much effect on the S&P? I can't say for sure. All I know is if you're trading at that time, and maybe you're actually trading the euro, then I would say that absolutely that could have big impact, because it's just, it's red on the calendar, so that makes it a high-impact event. That was at 3:30, and then at 4 a.m. Eastern time, the German IFO business climate, high impact. And then at 4:30 a.m., there was a high impact revised GDP. And then at 9 a.m. this morning, Eastern ECB President Draghi spoke. Now, those are not U.S. economic news events. Those are European news events. But if you're trading during those hours, you should certainly be aware of them. And I think last night, at some point, Japan, the Bank of Japan, had a big economic report out, high impact. And I think China had some kind of high impact number that came out last night before midnight Eastern time. So you could look back on the calendar and probably see that. Well, you know what? It's getting late, and David has been very patient. So hang on. Let's welcome him, bring him onto the show. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We'll be right back with David Williams from PageTrader.com.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, and good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David.
And good morning to everyone out in Radio Land today.
Good morning, David.
And good morning, Mike. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm fine. You know, I really hate to do this to you, but I have to leave here at 10 till.
Well, you scoot right along, but I'm glad that you were on, and I'm glad to say hi to you and hope to see you back on early next week if you're around.
We will catch up next week for sure.
Okay. We have some catching up to do on the Wild Wild West, you and I.
There you go. All right. Okay. All right. You guys have a good day.
See
you,
Mike. All right, buddy. Take
care. Thanks, Willie.
All right. Take care.
Bye, guys.
See you, Mike. Well, we have Memorial Day weekend coming up.
We do.
And that means that Memorial Day is Monday. Mm-hmm. That's a holiday for most people. Certainly the markets will be closed.
Yes.
I believe the markets will be quiet tomorrow. Or I'll put it this way. They often are quiet because many people want to take the four-day holiday
right. Because
of Monday landing there. So we won't be online tomorrow. If you're going to be online, Dwayne, I would still be happy to be on the program if there's something going on in the markets, which probably there will be, at least for a little while. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see what we normally see, which is the movement of the market get very quiet after an initial move and pretty much stay quiet for most of the day. You going to be here?
We are conducting our normal trading room and radio broadcast,
okay.
And of course we'll be off Monday, but we'll be here tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, if everything works out, I'd like to be on the program tomorrow with you. No, I won't be able to. Unfortunately, I just realized that I do have something tomorrow that will not allow me to be on the radio unless you want to hear a lot of strange noises in the background. So that probably won't work, and I won't go into any more detail than that.
All right. Okay.
How's that?
Well, we'll give you the day off.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Michael, could you make a note on his time card?
Please.
I will. I've already made a note.
Okay.
Yeah.
One more day like that, and I'm just going to rip it up.
That's right. Tear that thing in half. How do you like the freedom? For those of you who are, in the audience here where, the markets, we've all had our regular jobs to do, our day jobs. And we're here we are at a point now where, we have something that allows us to do whatever we want to do. We don't have a boss. But it's just about as hard as working for a boss. It can be. It's a lot of fun. Can be. But the markets give you an enormous amount of freedom. And in many cases, at least for myself, I've certainly noticed that it's more freedom than I knew what to do with early on.
Well,
I don't know if anybody went through that same feeling.
Well said. I mean, probably everyone at some point dreams of being the boss, being the master of their own domain, calling the shots. And I'm not going to say that that can't be a very wonderful and fulfilling experience, but I can say with great certainty that...
That you've had enough of it.
Well, I just want to say that there's more to it than you're aware of.
That's right.
And some days you wake up and you're faced with all these decisions you've got to make and lives you've got to manage and all these different things. And, there's a part of you that says, gee, I just would like to go to work and have somebody tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And I could just hunker down and do it. And at the end of the day, I could punch the clock, go home, and not worry about any of it.
Yeah.
So it's a trade-off. So I'm not trying to discourage anyone that wants that kind of freedom and independence. I'm just giving you a little heads up that there's some baggage that comes along with it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and even to extend that a little bit, in my life I've known a number of people, a number of friends who have, whatever their jobs were, the deals that they had to go through, the work they did, that they get to a point where they're so tired of their work that anything looks better than work to them. But then they find out that anything is sort of a mirage because there's a lot of things that go along with that new anything, whatever that anything is. And you just have to realize that there's just no free lunch in anything. You may work under somebody and say, well, that person has an easier job than I do, but he has the responsibility that he has to answer for and on and on and on. And it really is that way as you go up management and all that stuff. Certainly, if you're not happy with the kind of work you're doing, you can go find, and it's nice to find a better job, better work. But I would be, I'd like to let you know that it's not quite easy. Like Dwayne says, it's, there's just a lot of work involved in doing anything. So don't kid yourself thinking that it's going to be, we're just talking about regular jobs now. Like I say, have been through it myself. For whatever reason in my life, it ended up that I, only had a couple of jobs when I was young. I remember working at a liquor store in California. We don't really have liquor stores out in Las Vegas per se, but I worked at a liquor store, and I remember the guy telling me, because I was putting product on the shelf, and I was young and I didn't know, but I was putting the product on and pushing the older product back. Hmm. So, in other words, the older product would not get sold.
Got to rotate that inventory, man.
I wasn't rotating the inventory.
And you got to block it.
And he got very upset with me. Was not happy about me doing that. So, you got to go through all those little experiences. And then I would stand behind the counter. I remember this very well. And for whatever reason, I was wearing like a jacket. It was wintertime. The doors were open. And I had my hands in my pockets. And that's not a good retail thing to do. But I didn't know. I just had my hands in my pockets. And he nailed me on that one. take your hands out of your pockets when you're back here, son. Okay, sorry about that. And you know, one thing after another, you just make one mistake after another. You don't know much, you know. And
what I understand, if you work in Vegas and put your hands in your pockets, they literally like cut your hands off.
Well, everything's on camera out here, and you know, we have some of the cleverest people. There's obviously people who are not so clever too, but there's been a lot of really clever people who've tried to come up with, and a few have really succeeded at coming up with clever holes in the casino's system for, not for their security so much in terms of watching people, but with how to play the game and get an edge on the game. And I remember telling you about one on this radio program, and I can't remember all the details, and I want to remember it because it was enormously clever. It really was. It was just beautiful how these guys did this. They had thought this thing through, and it was so clever that even on camera, they just couldn't figure out what these guys were doing to win this money. And the guy earned $11 million doing this until he was caught. And he doesn't live in the United States anymore, Dwayne. I think you probably know why. He probably renounced his citizenship, comma, as well.
So what was the grift? What was the gaffe?
Well, I have to remember exactly how it worked. It's so clever, I want to get it right. I did bring it up one time. It had to do with playing...
Three guys from MIT?
No. Those guys aren't nearly... No. That's nothing compared to this. The guys from MIT were, you know, they were gristle compared to how clever this thing
was.
That
was a good movie, though. It was called 21, right?
Yeah. And the guys from MIT did a nice thing. I mean, they figured out that, you know, there's odds that they can turn in their favor, and the hotels are very, very astutely aware of all the tricks that have been played up till now. There are probably very few left, very few openings left, but this one fellow and his partner came up with a just amazing, clever thing that they did, and you can't do it anymore. They all know about it, but... one of the things it has to do with, and I'll only tease you with this because I want to remember the whole thing, but the casinos, by their very nature, are very concerned with watching when you win, what is happening. Okay? They're not that concerned with when you lose. You're supposed to lose. But when you win, that's when they're focusing in on you and trying to figure it out. Well, all the magic, all the cleverness in this guy's approach was happening when he would lose. And so they never were watching that. And then when he would win, he was winning legitimately, and they just were scratching their heads. And to this day, they'll tell you, this was probably the most cleverest ploy that has ever been played against them. And these two guys went around to a bunch of casinos and scooped up about $11 million before they decided, either for whatever reason, I don't remember how it all went, but they ended up out of the country, and the casinos really don't necessarily have a claim against these individuals. They don't have proof that this actually happened. So the guy could live here. He would probably have to withstand some heat from, you know, either a lawsuit or whatever, but they don't really know for sure what this guy was doing, and now that he's told them what he's doing, they would have to put together a pretty comprehensive thing, and they probably would, to try to get him. So he doesn't live in the United States anymore, but it was really brilliant. But I just want you to remember that they're watching. They really zoom in when you're about to win. They want to find out how you're winning, and all his magic was being done when he was losing. Mm-hmm. So isn't that interesting? So they weren't paying any attention to that, or the little attention they did pay, you know, that they just, I mean, it was brilliant. It really was. It was a fabulous little thing. It's on TV. There's a program on TV that I forgot the name of it, but it has to do with people that come to Vegas to try to win. There's been so many different things, and some of them are clever in their own way, in their own right. One of them was this little old lady that used to come to the casinos, and she moved from one casino to the next, and she would go up to a table where somebody was winning, and you have to give it to her for cleverness here, and she had a little coffee mug with her there, and when somebody had a stack of chips, and usually the $100 chips, people play obviously enough size to make it interesting to them. And so when somebody would be winning or something and they would win and they'd put some more chips on there, she would take her little mug and tap the stack of chips, like, you know, here's to you. Well, on the bottom side of her mug was double-sided scotch tape, and she'd pick up the top $100 chip. And she'd do that three or four times. and then she'd go to another casino and do it over there. She was doing pretty good. She was making pretty good money. I mean, that's clever in its own right.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one was thinking, now listen, the thing that was clever about it that she may not have thought through is that she wasn't stealing the casino's money. She was stealing a patron's money.
Right, right.
The casinos are very alert, more so to their own money than they are to patrons, I believe. Their interests are stronger, but they also don't want their patrons to be robbed either. But this little thing that she was doing with her coffee mug was picking up a $100 chip every time. And so she wouldn't stay around too long. They showed her at different casinos doing it, and finally she got, it's kind of hard to say busted when a woman's like, you know, 69 years old and she's just trying to make a living. But she was making a better living than all of, like all of the casino dealers, you know, standing in front of her by just doing that little coffee mug thing. So there's been a lot of very clever little bits and pieces that have happened. There was another fellow who, you know, there needs to be a museum in Las Vegas of all this stuff, because this is really, some of it's really good. One guy said, instead of cheating, I'm just going to get the machines that make the chips. I'm going to get a machine that makes the dollar, the metal coins that go into the machines. And he did very well for a while as well, and they finally caught him. Just a few days ago, the Bellagio was robbed, attempted to be robbed by some guys. I don't know the whole details of the story, but
not so clever guys, really.
Not so clever. Yeah, they weren't as clever. I think they were picturing Ocean's 11, and that movie came out and was at the Bellagio, and the Bellagio's had a number of hits on it because, I believe, of Ocean 11 getting people hyped up. And there was another guy just maybe 3 years ago who drove his motorcycle up to the Bellagio, burst inside, and left with like $1 million worth of chips. He somehow brazenly got in and got out on his motorcycle and drove off. And then it turns out later that the chips have some kind of chip in them, and they can be turned on or turned off, tracked or something. And so they knew that, you know, and he finally, I think they got him. So it just didn't. Yeah.
The guys, you know, this past week, there was a couple of them went in with pepper spray. And one guy's pepper spray can didn't work.
Oh, they really should test that before they do that, shouldn't they?
Yeah, and he was tackled. They went in to try to steal the $5,000 chips, as many as they could, and run out. One guy was tackled, and he immediately gave up his spray. Yeah, not too clever.
Anytime your plan sounds something like this, we'll break a hole in the wall, we'll climb in, we'll take the stuff, and we'll leave. That plan is probably not a good one.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of, when they sound like that, they're probably really not that effective. You have to have something more clever than that. Anyway, the reason I joke about that, because many years ago there was a robbery at a furniture store, and they had a recording of a mob guy. Now, the mob, you think of the mob as being clever or, you know, more sophisticated. And that's what the guy was saying. You heard him saying, here's what we're going to do. We're going to punch a hole in the wall. We're going to crawl through that hole. We're going to go in. We're going to take that stuff. We're going to leave without paying for it. All right, Ted, that's a great plan. See you there. The mob wasn't that brilliant. They really weren't. They just had a lot of muscle, and their plans were just as ordinary. The stuff today is much more sophisticated. And especially with a few of these guys from Las Vegas. So just thought I'd bring that up. We have a lot of Las Vegas lore, you know, of people who have tried to cheat the casinos. There is one fellow in Las Vegas that has been sentenced to life for having tried doing that on several occasions. So isn't that strange that there's a person serving life in a Nevada prison for the numbers of times that he's, you know, attempted to steal large amounts of money from the casinos? And then, of course, wherever you live, I'm sure it is, you always have the bank robbery people. And, you know, at some point, somebody has to inform bank robbers that it's probably a really bad idea to try that. And yet there's hundreds of them that are attempted every year out here. I don't know how you are in Las Vegas or in Arizona there or where you are, Michael. But robbing banks.
They're trying to do that all the time over here, it seems like, too.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
They actually have success with it, but, you know, they Banks don't carry all that much cash.
No, and you're going to leave with 6,000 or 8,000, you know, by the time you get out of there. I mean, you're going to be sentenced for a very, very long time for that type of crime. The white-collar criminals get, I mean, I'm not encouraging anybody here, but white-collar criminals get a whole lot more money and a whole lot less time than anything that involves violence and or breaking in and getting into banks and all that stuff. It's best to just, you know, learn the trade or learn a trade, you know, and just get a job and, you know, move on from there. A lot of the people, by the way, in Las Vegas have drug issues, and when they're robbing banks, quite often they're on drugs. And honestly, even though bank robbery is a very bad thing, if nobody gets hurt, that's great. But when somebody's on drugs, they're not their normal selves, and I wonder sometimes if there shouldn't be some, I don't know, allowance for that, that if a person's all amped up on something and he's doing something like that, that there's at least some, that's a mitigating factor. You know, he's not doing it in his normal state of mind. Not that I'm discounting the fact that it's a crime. But a lot of these people out here that I've seen before have done it on drugs. So, and there you are. How did we get over to that subject? I don't know. But that's what you get on this program, is wherever we go, that's what you get. So, Duane, anything you want to add to any of that before we get on to the markets?
No. Let's go take a look at the S&P 500 E-mini futures.
All right. Well, let's see. You know, I guess the bigger picture for us still remains the same, the larger top in March, and we're still looking for further decline, potentially. It's not an outright forecast for that, but we do believe that there's a likelihood of further decline in the market before this monthly top completes. So all of this, the advances that we're seeing, et cetera, inside that larger perspective, we're looking for further decline. That's number one. Very short term, we had indicated to our followers that the 1312 level is buying territory here for an advance to 1317. The 1317 is, they're attempting that now. We got to 1316.25. This is very much like the trade from yesterday that when we were on your program that, you know, the market would advance up from the 1295 level, it would go to 1303. And this is, it's a different amount of points, but it's just that kind of a setup where the market's bouncing off of a known area, where, or at least to put it this way, an area where there's a high probability for them to reverse and move higher. I wouldn't be surprised if today is not super active as we get later in the day because of the potential for the upcoming holiday and all that. Having said that, though, the market has exhibited good behavior as far as I'm concerned today. They haven't done anything really wrong or unusual. It's looked very normal, and it's staying active even now to some extent. When we do get into the second to the last hour of today, there's going to be a potential for a decent tradable setup. That would be the sixth hour of today, and possibly a roadmap. So we may put that out for those of you who are in our Messenger Pro. Otherwise, I'd give it out now. We haven't developed it up yet, but that's something that we may be able to trade off of a little bit later today. And then finally, with regard to the S&P, if we do, you know, this is a holiday, and the markets tend to be somewhat bullish, sort of pre-holiday, not all the time. It's a very general outlook. But if we do move a little bit higher into tomorrow, you know, if we were to get up to the 1325 level and any of that stuff, 1326, the level we talked about the other day, then that will set up a top for the market for, you know, into early next week. So we'll talk about that as we, you know, if I won't be on tomorrow, but on Monday we'll talk about that if that occurs. So far, really, this has been a very, very minor bounce overall in the larger downtrend. And, you know, I want to point out that the S&P can't normally do what it did starting on May 11th, which is to close lower, May 12th, more 14th, close lower, 15th, close lower, 16th, close lower, 17th, and 18th, close lower. That's a lot of days in one direction. Only larger forces can cause that to happen. That's a move that is being directed by, driven by larger forces, and that further is confirmation that we're under the influence of larger forces, and that this advance, while it's allowed by the receding of that larger force for a temporary period of time, when that larger force reasserts itself, the market will want to go lower. And we're thinking that that is going to be the case, that we're not really done yet with this decline. I think there's a potential for substantially lower prices here. So we just want to keep that in mind. It's not an outright forecast, but we do want to keep in mind that there really is the potential for further decline. Really, how the market handles the decline off the March top, which is they're doing that now, how they're handling it, how they're trading it, all of this will give us a very strong indication for later in the year for any further advance that we may be interested in taking advantage of. I've mentioned that we do a lot with these options, with puts and calls. And if the market were to firm up nicely, we would want to add to those positions or initiate new ones for a whole new leg up potentially later in the year here after we get through the June, partly into June or the whole month of June. So that's our outlook right now, Duane, on the S&P. It hasn't, of course, changed, but we do have the shorter-term little stuff we mentioned, and there's a possibility later today for some roadmap, short-term roadmap stuff that we're going to do in the S&P. So also I want to say, I forgot to mention this earlier, I enjoyed having Robin on yesterday, a fresh voice, some insight into, her particular take on traders' psychology. And it'll be interesting to see what she's able to do with her time on the radio program to give out some help to others and maybe take some questions and that sort of thing from listeners.
A lot of positive feedback from yesterday's broadcast, and she's in the audience today.
Oh, good.
And I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, no, that's nice. So let's see. Let's move on from the S&P, and we'll go through our usual bunch of markets here. Let's take a look at where we are in gold. This is a market that we've indicated for the last couple of weeks that it's putting in a weekly bottom. The weekly bottom was due on the week of May 14th. This is the week that we've said was a very important turning point on a number of markets. Gold is just one of them. So we like the idea of being long gold. That's what we like. And we talked about a few days back about the daily top that was due on May 22nd. It came one day early on May 21st. They sold off nicely yesterday. I mentioned yesterday that if they close, that we thought that they would close above 1545 or 1541, and that would be the stronger position. I think it's a buy right here. I just think it's buying time in gold. So we've sat through quite a bit on gold, and we've talked about our longer-term position many, many times. We don't have to go over that. But this decline that the market had all the way from 1794 down to 1526 just about sent me to the emergency clinic a couple times. So that's what you get when you're holding longer-term positions and, sort of trading, not sort of, but very much trading in a trend-following manner. We are not really trying to get yourself out based on turning points, although we do use them when it's really blatantly obvious, and we have used them on the way up, taking positions off. But this market made a reflected wave weekly top way back in February of 2012, and it just now made a reflected wave bottom on May 14th. So that's a big decline. There was a lot of room in there for the market, and it did go all the way down. I mean, they had a nice big move. This is what we call a Mona Lisa setup in reflected wave, from a weekly top all the way to a weekly bottom in a swing in price. And so having put that in, having exerted and expressed that power, this weekly bottom is very important. How they handle this, obviously, is going to be a very important indicator for future movement in gold for the remainder of this year here. we still have plenty of uncertainty in the world, and gold is still up at dramatically higher prices than it was for the past 10 years, other than the high that they made. But gold did essentially double its all-time high. Basically, its old high of $1,000, we got up to basically $2,000. That's a really big move to double the price. And there's many people out there that believe gold. You saw this earlier in last year, in early 2011. There was a lot of stuff on the internet about gold, you know, going up to 2,500 and 5,000 and these numbers. But that has softened up a bit with this reversal, and that's fair enough. That doesn't mean that it can't do that, but we have to take what is happening in front of us and either trade it or manage our positions in real time, no matter what the forecast is or no matter what the belief is about what gold's, you know, going to do ultimately. You have to trade what's in front of you, and I believe right now what's in front of us is a very important bottom. And if
well,
a person
the,
wants
really
to...
really hardcore guys, they've not changed their numbers. If anything, they've gotten even wilder.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about the 5,000. I consider that this side of, you know, realistic. And I don't completely...
In other words, you believe that that's a realistic assertion, the 5,000. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
or no?
I think that's what's the term, doable over some period of time. I'm not. I did tell you it would be over 2,000 by the end of the year, right?
You did. You said that you think we're going to be over 2,000.
Yeah.
By the end of the year, that means it has to go to the old high, which is. $1,920,
right,
and take that out by the end of the year.
Right.
And, you know, honestly, if it gets up there and even gets close to that by the end of the year, that's a good call. Doesn't have to actually do exactly what you're saying. It just has to, you know, if it gets in that area, that's good stuff. And it may, that move, I'm going to stop in a minute here, but I was going to say that move may be beginning right from this weekly bottom, the May 14th weekly bottom. I'm telling you, this is a very important juncture for this market. Go ahead, Dwayne.
No, I was going to say, and so, you know, the numbers for beyond that, like 3,000 and 5,000, I think those numbers are certainly possible, and they are inevitable over time, I believe, unless they really do start mining the asteroids, and then we have a whole new world on our hands, but... I mean, there's still there's a lot of guys out there that still have the projections of, you know, the really big numbers, the 25,000, 30,000, the apocalyptic Armageddon type numbers based upon our economy and our fiat currency completely imploding upon itself. So, you know, the 2,000, the 3,000, the 5,000, you know, I don't rule that out at all. Don't rule that out at all. And the other stuff, you know, I mean, if you listen to the guys, some of them make a pretty good case. Some of them just are talking to hear themselves talk, but many of them make a pretty good case. But Jason, the silver guy, he always makes a good case. He also sells bullion, so, you know.
He's got
a coin shop. Jason, I'm trying to think of his name. We had an agreement. He was going to do a show with us, and then we lost touch, and so I need to get a hold of him. He's not a tinfoil hat guy. He's a very he believes what he believes very strongly, and he has a lot of good reason. He's very an intelligent guy. He's not a raving, you know, one of these screamers. But he has a coin shop where he ships a lot of bullion every day, and his mom has a coin shop.
Oh, that's nice. He went into the same business as mom did.
And mom has more flexible credit terms than he does. So, yeah, it's an interesting story. I'll bring you up to speed on it someday.
No, that's very interesting. I happen to, at least for the time being, for this year, next, and the year after, I absolutely do not believe that gold's going to be up at anywhere near $3,000 or $5,000. That's my belief. That's not a forecast.
Ever?
No, not ever.
Oh.
No, I'm saying in the next 3 years. While all this stuff is being worked out, the stuff of, you know, and we may not have worked it out in 3 years, so I'm not making any kind of forecast with regard to the world's problems right here, but over the next 3 years, I don't have any type of indication that we're going to be up at $3,000 or $5,000. That's a very, very large, you know, technically, and realize, you know, the argument between fundamentals and technicals get hot in these types of discussions because people can say, listen, I don't care what your technicals say. If this event happens, this will send, you know, gold through the roof, and it very well may. And gold is a very, very long historical market that in order to put things together, you would have to really have a good grasp of everything that has happened. History does repeat itself, but the how and the when and the where of those repeats requires an insight and a lot of data to be able to access. Having said that, I don't think it's at all unreasonable for what you said, Dwayne, that the market could, I don't know about at the year's end, but we still have 6 months left or seven, but we certainly, absolutely, could be retesting those highs. There's no question about it. We could be retesting the highs, which is $2,000. I don't have any problem with that at all. Again, I'm not forecasting it, but I don't have any problem believing that at all. Some of the people that I've spoken to just on this subject, and there's quite a few credible people who are of the belief that the currency, the dollar, is going to go away. And one way or the other, that it's going to melt into oblivion and people are going to stop utilizing the dollar. Now, under those conditions, obviously, that would be a very powerful impetus for gold, wouldn't it, if the dollar goes away? And, of course, maybe the dollar goes away and they offer us some other currency and so gold doesn't get as affected or whatever you want to say. But the fact is that something like that happening, and there are a number of decently credible people who are saying that we're in a transitional period already and that it's only a matter of time before the dollar goes away. I don't know. I'm not in that business of knowing that currencies are going to go away. But if the dollar went away, that would then have the potential of having a very, very powerful impact on gold, I believe.
Are you talking about going away as our currency or as the world's reserve?
Yes, going away as the world's currency and as our currency, that it's no longer a currency.
I mean, it could go away as the world's reserve currency and still be our currency. So that's two separate things.
Yeah, and that's a good distinction. The people that I'm talking about that are mentioning, the somewhat credible people that I've talked to and some others, are indicating that they think that there's a high likelihood that the dollar would just disappear as the dollar, as our currency and any currency. It just goes away, and then it's either replaced by another currency, which is the likely scenario. And in that currency transition, gold would be very powerfully pushed up.
So I'm curious, when you have these conversations with these people, do you allow them to bring their shopping carts inside?
No, I don't have them bring their shopping carts. I usually am in their little, tent or whatever they're living in. I've also noticed that a great number of the most powerfully emotional conspiracy theorists have nothing to lose. I don't know if you've noticed that, but the people that are most whacked on conspiracy, on believing that, everything is scripted, every moment in life is, everything that we see on TV is just part of a script and a play, and every war is a script, and all the players are just raping and pillaging all of us, et cetera, et cetera. The majority of those people, they're the most frightened about and the most worried about these things happening, and they have nothing to lose.
So you're saying there's no value in all those stacks of newspapers?
There may not be much, but I don't know. But I've just noticed, because I have several friends that are profound conspiracy theorists. They really are.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
No, it doesn't mean they're not out to get you. But when everyone's out to get you, then you have to start wondering about it. the world isn't being scripted by a special high-level group of people that all these events are happening. And the human element is what makes that so difficult that, and we've talked about this before, the ability to pull off any conspiracy is very, very difficult to do, even just with two people, let alone, I mean, it goes exponentially out of control as soon as you start adding more and more people, because people are the weak link in any conspiracy.
I want to make it clear that we are joking about the crackpots here, not anyone that is mentally ill, because I have, over the course of my life and ministry, I have dealt with people who were who literally did hear voices and many weird, many unusual things, and but yet they could be completely rational one moment, and then the next moment, you know, they were being tracked and followed and monitored, and so. Again, I just don't want anyone to think, man, they, you know, they're making fun of the mentally disabled. We're not. We're not talking about that. That's a whole other issue.
We are the mentally disabled.
We are the mentally disabled, yeah.
Anyway, so it's just interesting. You know, it's just all interesting to see
Shouldn't
it happen.
Shouldn't I get some
people
kind of a check for that every month?
I'm sorry?
Shouldn't the president be sending me some kind of a check every month for my mental condition? Shouldn't I get,
I mean,
are I entitled to something?
I think you're entitled to a lot more than you're getting.
Pay your fair share, right, David, so I can get more.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so it should be interesting. So do keep an eye if you're utilizing technical work, long signals and gold. I like the idea of just buying it. So I won't say much more about it, but we'll keep an eye on it over here. Let's switch over to the U.S. bond market. We also have the weekly forecast top in bonds for the week of May 14th. We've talked about this for a couple of weeks. That top was last week. This is the week now of May 21st. And they're starting to express a little bit more of that decline that you would normally expect. Reflected Wave had called for May 23rd to be a daily bottom subsequent to the weekly top. And that bottom came in one day early on May 22nd. They had a nice straight-up shot off that yesterday, and then today they're back down. This type of behavior is typical so far at tops. The bond market is in a position, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's a wonderful time for you to buy a home, refinance a home, refinance your life, refinance your wife, whatever it is. Money is very, very inexpensive, very cheap. And next week, I would like to have as a guest on the program a fellow out here in Las Vegas named Rob Howe. And Rob is the fellow that I've mentioned before when I've given out the phone number to him for people who might want to do the HARP loan for their home or talk about some other of their options. Rob actually is a realtor here in Las Vegas. And I thought it would just be interesting just for, you know, 10 minutes or something to have him on and just for you to hear his perspective on what's happening in the United States, and specifically in Las Vegas out here. There's a lot of investment going on right now in Las Vegas with people who are either utilizing their own money to buy a home or they're financing it at these very, very cheap rates. I've said this before, and I will make this forecast, that the price lows that we saw in housing in October, November, and December, those price lows we will not see again for 50 years. That's my forecast. Just 6 months ago's prices in housing here in Las Vegas, we won't see those lows for 50 years. In other words, it's going to require an entire set of economic cycles back and forth to continue before something big enough comes to do in its own way how history repeats, etc., to do in its own way what has happened to the housing market here now. The bottom is in. I've been saying this for months on the radio program, but I've taken advantage of that same information myself. I've been out doing things in my own way with regard to taking advantage of the idea that, in my forecast, that the bottom was in. The markets are starting to heat up. You can see it in the news. April sales were up 3.5% across the United States and et cetera. We're starting to see some of this turnaround. So if you have an interest in it, and if you, I'm not a realtor, I am not even really a forecaster, of course, of real estate markets, but I am making a forecast, and I have been for several months, about the nature of the bottom. So in spite of the fact that the GAO may be calling, or whatever that office is, the General Accounting Office is calling for a recession next year, you know, if the Bush tax cuts, you know, don't get taken out and this, that, and the other, the fact is that housing prices have bottomed, and this is a wonderful time to buy a house. I would even say if it's a matter of choosing between destroying your credit through a foreclosure or hurting your credit through a short sale, you might want to consider if that's worth doing in order to be in on property value at a very, very cheap price. That's something for you, and you know, you have to ask your doctor or pharmacist about that. That's a joke, but you know, whoever the important people are, lawyers, etc., if that's going to work for you. But at this point, I think it would be really valuable. The cycle really has turned. The crash has occurred, and you can be in a position to pick up property at prices that begin a brand new cycle. So consider that. You know, think about that. Put your options on the table. Put them in front of somebody that really knows their stuff with regard to the law, if you're thinking about credit stuff. And that's why I wanted to have Rob come on, if that's something you would find interesting, because he can talk a little bit about that. And some of you may be in a position where you're thinking about that. And I think because of the nature of the interest rates, the bond market putting in the top, all the other stuff we've talked about, I'd like to be of help to people in that regard. I wouldn't be putting it out there with this much force unless I thought it was correct. You know, that's why I'm doing it. So,
no, Dwayne, anything you want to add to that? That sounds very interesting, yeah.
Let him okay, know great. We'll have him on next week.
An open invitation to come on down.
Okay. Good. He's a great guy. He's one of these young guys. I think he's probably 37, 38. He's very sharp, and he's very knowledgeable about what is going on. And he can answer some questions if you have it. I mean, we might as well talk about it because it's, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We're in a blue moon right now. The blue moon is extremely low interest rates and extremely low housing prices. That is a blue moon in the long wave. It's not normally, both of those are not normally on the same side of the table. One is on way over here and the other one's way over there, or some combination. So in the long wave, the blue moon is not going to last very long like blue moons don't. And that's why I keep pressing this, that I want you to take advantage of this in some way, shape, or form, if you can. And I'll leave that as it is. So we'll move on from there, and we'll have Rob on next week. So I'll tell you, it'll be Monday or Tuesday, something like that. So the weekly top in bonds, we'll continue with that. The euro continues to go down, and I had mentioned yesterday and a few days back that if euro does break that 126 level, that we're going to hold off doing anything. A lot is happening news-wise with the euro. This is one of those markets that has been in a downtrend now for quite a while, and this type of downtrend obviously puts the market in a much weaker position temporarily, being below the 126 level, and yet we are potentially close to being able to put a roadmap out for this as well. So, but I don't want to tempt or inspire people to do anything on the long side, shorting it or whatever you see to do, go ahead and do that. But right now I'm going to leave that until we get a little further, because normally on the euro, the week of May 21st would mark a bottom. That's this week. So as I've said before, when the timing point won't change, but if they close below 126, and they're going to, then, you know, I'm going to leave it alone just a little bit here, just because I'm more conservative and I don't need to take the high aggressive types of trades. I'll just wait for a little more confirmation and be more certain. And I like being more certain and making less money with more certainty than I get more out of that than being aggressive and getting more money with less certainty, because the aggressive doesn't pay off over time. It pays off in short runs, but not over time. In my experience. Okay, we'll move on from there. Silver, I don't have a whole lot to add to silver. Silver's similar to gold in its positioning. Crude, the low we've made in crude now is $89.28. 89.28 minus 88.25. We've come within $1.03 of the longer-term forecast roadmap for the market to decline in the month of May down to $88.25, so $1.03. Under normal conditions, I think they should hit that price, but we've gotten close enough, and I've gotten some emails and spoken to some people who've been in this market in one instrument or another, and they have booked the majority of their profits. I still like the idea of holding on to any smaller remaining position for the possibility of just a complete break, you know, a continued break as that. We've already had the complete break, continued break to lower than 88. So we'll see if that happens. But I like being in the smallest part of our position rather than the largest part of our position. And again, I'm conservative. You deal with your own willingness to do what you do in the markets. I think in the long run, aggressive it's like a spice in food. It works a little here and a little there, certain spices. But you don't want to have it all the time because it's too much. And that means if you're going to be aggressive, pick your aggressive spots carefully. To always be aggressive, to always be front-running, to always be, you know, jamming yourself in front of a rally and saying it's going to turn, that probably won't work as well. In fact, I would say with great certainty that wouldn't work as well as trading with in such a way to make less money with more certainty. And then occasionally when the really good stuff lines up, then you can be more aggressive with it. And even then it may not work, but when it does work, the aggressive really does pay off wonderfully. It's a super, super thing. Dwayne was talking about it yesterday about the idea that, well, why wait for a certain level in crude as an example to be broken? Why not get here if the natural number is 88? Why not just get short? Well, that's aggressive. And that can work out very well. When it does work, you know, it's the crack cocaine of trading because it gets you as high as a kite because you got in long before confirmation. It went right through your confirmation and then it went right down and, you know, you have a very, very large gain on your hands. But use it like you would an exotic spice, the aggressive stuff. Take it, you know, and wait for the really especially good high probability stuff and put it to work in your trading. I think that's a better way to do it than, you know, constantly. And not that anybody has told you to do it on the program constantly, but I do know of traders who like to trade aggressively constantly. And I think that that's a mistake. Okay, so let's move on from there over to the soybean market. Don't have a lot to add to soybeans today. The larger thing for soybeans is maintaining the April monthly top that we, you know, reflected wave had called for. We did have, by the way, we did have a reflected wave webinar yesterday, Dwayne, so we may have a few new people on the program today. I don't know if we do or not.
Well, if we do, webinar, then let me extend them a hearty welcome.
And you too.
Thanks, guys. We do this every day. Been doing it for many years.
Many years.
Since 2005. We first launched in 2005. And so in this world of internet radio and in this world of trading, it's not every day you come across people that have been showing up and doing the deal every day for that many years. So, you know, we may not be the tallest. David probably does have the best posture, but we may not be the tallest or the brightest or, you know, the best looking. But gosh, we're so consistent.
We show up.
Mm-hmm. When we get it right, we show up, and we try not to pat ourselves on the back too much. And when we get it wrong, we show up.
That's right. We really are consistent. We will show up every day. If you want to listen to us, you can come on. We're here every day. By the way, I won't be able to do it tomorrow. I don't know if I mentioned that. but we are. We're about generating income, not if-come. And the if-come is a possibility. You know, it could happen that, you know, you can't get the trade on or whatever. But we're really looking for ways to generate income from a number of different little, I think of it like little streams in the market. We'll get a little bit from over here. I'm not trying to get it all from one market. I'm not trying to take a big, huge, I sometimes can, but the real goal is to try to get a bunch of little streams, for the most part, going your way. You know, you've got some options on over here. You've got some stocks that are going up over here. You've got this, that. You're sort of diversifying yourself across a number of different markets and utilizing different instruments. And in the end, you know, you can kind of make all of that work in your favor. And on any one day, you've got quite a few little things going on. That's a good way to put it together. And if you don't have the capital right now to put it, that many positions or that get that kind of setup, do it the best you can. But I think it's a mistake to try to load up on one market. I do know a lot of people or several people that do that. In fact, Michael, you know, X that we talked to on the radio program, the largest day trader that I've ever known in my life, 15, 20,000 contracts a day, he really specializes in the S&P. And, you know, he just puts it all on the S&P. I'm not a real fan of that. He's had much more success in his trading than I have in my life in terms of pure dollars. You know, I mean, he certainly is trading in enormous size. But, I mean, if I was asked to comment on it, my comment would be, I think it's better to have multiple income streams across a wider range of markets and not try to get it all from one. And much in the same way that when the market puts in a monthly reflected wave bottom on the ES, on the S&P 500, we could go in and we could just sell a bunch of puts, which basically are bets that the market is going to go up. But if we got it wrong, if for whatever reason we got it wrong, then we're just going to lose straight out there. However, if we, instead of doing it on the S&P, we go across a bunch of individual stocks, some of which are in, you know, they all basically are putting in bottoms, well, some of those stocks are going to go up. Some of them might come down if the index comes down, but not all of them are going to hurt us like the index would. So in a sense, we almost get a it's better for us because we have the higher likelihood of making money even if we're semi-wrong, in a sense. If the market needs to come back and test a low, and some of those stocks are actually going to be advancing during that period that the index is declining, and you've seen that. The stocks will advance while the index is declining. And so you get a much better diversification of your risk by doing that. I don't like putting it all on one thing. So this is just me, and they asked me to come on the show and say this stuff, so that's why I'm saying it. so anyway, that's basically it. With regard to soybeans, we have the monthly top in. I don't have anything else. We may have a roadmap for this early next week. I do want to remind people that we won't be here, we meaning PageTrader myself, won't be here tomorrow. Normally on a day off for us, I would still get on the radio program, but I do have something else that's going to take me away from that tomorrow.
Which will involve strange noises. So
it could involve strange noises.
Use your imagination, folks. I'll talk to some of my people in Vegas and see if they can get the lowdown on what's
you
really
can ask
going
me
on.
Later. You can call me privately and ask about the strange noise thing, and I'll let you know. I'll put it all out there for you. Anyway, one last thing I want to say here for the S&P.
He's taking his fiancée to the petting zoo.
No. If we continue to test and close above this 1312 level, if we start to firm up here, I am expecting to see a further test of 1317 or higher, 1318, into the next hour. So the hour that we're in right now just started 15 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. It's right now 12:45 Chicago time. So I'm watching, as I'm talking, I'm watching the market trade around this 1312, 1311 level. If they firm up there, I like the idea of you getting long for a run up to 17, book something at around that level, and then hold the remainder until I'm back on Monday. No, hold the remainder, you know, just for the possibility of higher prices, you know, sort of trend follow it, move your stop up, that kind of thing. But
now
you
guys,
can see the market
another,
is testing this.
Another prime example of mine and David's methodology is completely different. However, coming into the show, I said we look for 13, 10, 11 to be support. And right now you can see that our CFMA1, the backbone of our indicator set, is red and turning down. And so as price rises up, it's going to run into this dynamic resistance somewhere in the vicinity of that 1317. So if you're watching this show and looking to put on a trade, what David just said and what you can see on my chart, even though we've both arrived at this conclusion in a completely different manner, we've arrived at the same thing.
Yeah, this is a really basic type of move that the market would normally make from, again, roughly 1312. I'd like to see them close 15-minute, 30-minute, whatever, above that. But that would take us up to the 1718 level and or higher. So just a real simple day trading type of move. And I do like it when, for trading purposes, when two separate techniques indicate the same type of potential for a market move. I do like that. And that's something that, you know, you can do this on your own with your own indicator sets. Two totally separate things in your own toolbox that are telling you the same information could be very useful to putting together a nice trade. So keep that in mind. That's a useful little setup that we might have here. But I would let them have a little more time. They're still testing the 1312, and then we'll see what happens. If we could be on the show into next hour, we could manage it. But we'll be doing this on Messenger Pro. Earlier, we did the same setup earlier, trying to get long in the previous hour for a test or attempt at 17, and they got up to 1625. The market's kind of quiet. But I do want to let them have their hand here a little bit, or whatever you want to call it, you know, show their hand a little bit here, because they are still testing this level. And so keep that in mind. Put this together if it shows that. If we do close below that, then it's likely that we'll see lower prices, and we'll go from there. So there might be something there. But it's been pretty good. Market sold off nicely this morning from hitting the 12, I think we made up to 1222.75. Our target is 1223 in the support and resistance panel. For those of you that are listening, you from the perspective that we look at 1223 is the second to the highest number that the market should hit today. The highest number would be from 25 to 27, a 2-point range there from 25 to 27. But they have hit 23. They've reacted off that. And then from here, if they hold up here, we go back up from here. So you might want to consider that. So that's, Dwayne, I think that's basically it for us today. You still with us here, Dwayne?
I'm sorry, are you ready to start the show now?
Yeah, we're just going to start. How are you doing, Dwayne? How's you?
I didn't know you were ready to go.
Okay. Is it me, or does Dwayne sound like he's doing like three other things while trying to run a radio program?
No, I'm just messing with you. No. No, it was a good show. We covered a lot of great stuff. We got great plans for the future. I potentially have found my geek guy for the geek corner, and while I was willing to just have a geek guy that could talk intelligently with me about things like the iPad and the iPhone and iOS 5 and all things cool and techie, this guy also is a trader.
Oh, well, that's great. So you have a geek trader. Now, that's a guy that will never have a girlfriend, but that's, you know, I mean, everybody has their own place in life.
He also builds trading computers.
Okay, that even puts him further off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so, I'm looking over, I'm looking at a number of different individuals. He happens to be one of them. And I hope to have a chat with him this afternoon or tomorrow. Since you won't be here, perhaps I'll invite him to fill your gap.
Well, I would be, but I'll be somewhere where a lot of strange noises are going to be going on, like I had mentioned before.
County Fair, entering that hog again this year. You know, we won first, my wife and I, we won first place in the County Fair one year for our rooster. I think I may have told you this. No, not the County Fair, I'm sorry, the State Fair, the Arizona State Fair.
That's fantastic, Dwayne.
We were young.
I'm impressed.
We were kind of whacked up. But we were raising chickens on this little farm we had. And we had this rooster who, I'm telling you, he was the rooster right off the box of the Kellogg's Corn Flakes. He was just awesome. And we took him and we entered him in the state fair. He won first place. And a lot of old chicken farmers were not too happy. Because, I mean, they had, like, you know, poured their life into breeding the, you know, the ultimate uber chicken rooster.
Yeah.
We just bought, like, a rooster from somebody for a couple bucks, and every day we would throw some chicken feed in there and put water in the bowl, and poof, out came this magnificent Kellogg's Corn Flakes rooster. And, you know, dumb luck. Good things happen to good people sometimes.
They do. And, Dwayne, that was a great story.
It's a true story, too. Who could make that up?
I don't know.
No one.
Anybody that would want to make that up.
J.R. Tolkien could not make that up.
Well, Dwayne, I think I'll leave you to your own resources. I'd like to wish everybody a really nice 4-day weekend, 3-day weekend if you're going to be trading tomorrow. Spend some time. Remember, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Stretching will make you feel young. If you'll do a little bit every day and learn how to do it properly, it doesn't take but a few moments, you will feel better and healthier and looser, and you'll see. It's hard to put it into words, but go do that. And don't be afraid to go get a massage, which will make you feel absolutely wonderful. If you get somebody that's very good at that, that will release, make you feel a lot of tension coming out of your body. It's a very nice feeling. And get some exercise, just in general, because all of us sit too much. We're sitting in our cars, we're sitting eating, we're sitting in front of the screen, and, you know, we have to get the other side of the game working. And it'll make you feel a lot better and have a lot more energy. And so, go ahead, Dwayne. You were going to say something?
I was just going to ask how the acting class is coming.
Am I in an acting class?
Well, I thought I had paid for the one that they were going to teach you how not to sound so patronizingly bored when I tell my little stories.
Oh, that acting class.
Yeah, that one.
Your chicken stories or your... Well, I just want to say, Marta, the mother of my daughter, Bree, she also had a rooster story.
Okay.
Chickens, whatever. We had eggs. She had chickens for a while. And I just want to say that if anybody has never done this, when they lay the egg, roosters, chickens, and you take that egg and you go cook eggs and make eggs, there is nothing at all similar to those eggs and to the eggs that you get in the markets. I'm telling you, it is a completely different world. And I'm sure people out there that have listened have known this. I mean, of course they do, but somebody in our audience would know, if you've ever eaten the fresh eggs from roosters and chickens, whatever, they are
not roosters, beyond
belief.
It's the hen.
Chickens. Yeah, the hen. They're just amazing. You can't even believe there's layer after layer after layer. It's nothing like store-bought eggs. And you're just going to be amazed if it's the first time. Anyway, so she had those. And so she had eggs for quite a while. And that was a really, really amazing experience. And people on farms, they know this. You know, they've been through this their whole life. But these chickens, they take their time, the hen, to lay the egg. And they don't let them have a whole lot of time. They force them. So they don't come out anywhere near as good.
Oh, yeah, the ones that are in the in those confined, constricted, where they keep the light on 24 hours a day and just, you know, like force feed them. That's horrible. Yeah, you can in the grocery store. I think in any grocery store, but certainly in your higher-end Trader Joe type or AJ's Very Fine Foods, you can get the exotic free-range eggs.
But even those I haven't seen to be as good. I haven't seen somebody do the thing of just saying, listen, here's 12 eggs. It's going to cost you, you know, $16 or whatever it is, you know, because it takes a long time to make those 12 eggs. But here they are. I'd buy those.
Huh.
I'd sure buy them. By the way, while we're talking, they have failed at that 13-12 level, and they are moving lower here. So be careful. You know, like I said, we wanted to wait for a little more confirmation, so they weren't able to do it, and they're starting to move lower here. So, but back to the egg thing. Check that out. If you ever get a chance to eat the real deal, you will be amazed. So And that's my final statement. And I will go to acting class to say, make it sound like I'm more interested in what you're saying.
This little trend line here that I just drew right up across these bottoms on the hourly chart, there is the potential for this hourly candle, the one we're talking about, to not only close below that trend line, but to get below this 13.10.11, which held on this pullback. It held on this
pullback. I think it's likely they are going to go down below that. I think it is.
It bounced here. It was a pretty good bounce here, but now it's starting to look a little heavy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, David, we'll enjoy your eggs.
Well, Dwayne, thank you, everyone. Dwayne, I'll see you on Monday. All of you, I'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you then.
All right, sir. Thanks so much, David. Have a good afternoon, and have a nice extended weekend. And if your plans change or something and you want to be on the show tomorrow,
I'll be on.
Text.
Okay, I sure will. Thanks, you. Thanks, Dwayne. See you guys.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up. I don't know of anything else I can add that we haven't already talked about and covered. Watch this 13.10.11. It hasn't. We still have 33 minutes left in this hourly candle. So could this thing pop right back above this trend line and close above it? Yeah, it really could. And so drill down to your smaller time frames. Number one, I would like to think that you already got your points early in the day, like right here. But, or a little something here. But perhaps you didn't, and you're still needing to. Here's another one right here. We had this one here that went off during the show. That one went for 2.25 points from the entry right there. Went 2.25 points. Did a reverse. Now, here's the thing. There was no long trade here because we had a bullish cross, but there was no pull away. See, it stayed connected here and dropped over here. You got the bearish cross. Yeah, and I'm going to have to say that probably for the same reason this long didn't qualify, this short failed to qualify. Was there a trade there? Yeah. Could you have taken it? You could. But I'm just trying to stick to the basic premise of what you've seen in the videos and what you saw Michael doing this morning in the live trading room. Now, a pullback right here to this level, there's no doubting the validity of this because we've had the bearish cross. We've had the pull away. In fact, I would love to see a pullback to this area right here. I'd be very much interested in taking that if it was just for a little two-point clip. But it looks like this thing wants to get up and go. But the next trade will be a short trade off the BBC. Follow it down. For those of you who have the indicator set. I'm going to leave the hourly chart up and running for you. This one. Okay. You can watch this, see what happens. I also, last but not least, I will encourage you to visit the blog. And again, someone just asked me, somebody who's been around quite a while, said, how do I get to this blog thing? What's that all about? Well, just go to any page of CFRN.net, scroll down to where it says visit our blog. And there you are. Okay? Each day, there's a link that allows you to listen to that day's broadcast as a podcast. You can also subscribe to iTunes, which means you never miss a show. You can get some more information about Robin Dane, the Traders coach, who was with us yesterday and will be with us again in the future. There again is the interview link from yesterday. Now, this video, my videos are running 30, 40 minutes. I chopped this one down last night to 6 minutes. I've already explained why. I think it really is worth watching, okay? Now, on this video, all I've done is taken this chart, and I've removed the indicators so that you can get some clarity on the price action. Okay? So just click it, it'll play, and after you click it, if you want the high quality HD experience, you can do that. You can blow it up. You can go all full screen. These charts are selected trades out of the day's activities, okay, from yesterday. Now, I recapped every single trade opportunity that set up per the rule set, okay? I just highlighted a couple of the trades, but I also tell you here that we were stopped out over the course of the entire day, and I don't just mean bell to bell. I begin the recap at midnight Chicago time, and I take it all the way through where I was doing the recap last night at about 6, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And there was one additional trade after that, before midnight, that ran about somewhere between 4 and 6 points. So that's not even included in the total. Okay? But I encourage you to watch the video, take the free trial. During the free trial, you'll be able to actually use the indicators. Okay, you'll have charting, you'll have live data, you'll have the indicators. You'll be able to take the trades as we teach them in the simulator. Okay, that's really important. You know, watching a video, hearing somebody talk about it, watching somebody else do it, there's nothing wrong with any of that. But when it becomes an extremely powerful experience, so powerful that you need to take a hit off your inhaler, you got to get your hands on it. Get the charts. Get it on, not on my desktop, get it on your desktop. And I think you'll see over the course of the week that if you just follow this simple little methodology right here, if you come to the market with a reasonable expectation, okay, not that you're going to take 5, 10, or 20 points a day out of the market, but you're going to come in with a reasonable expectation, and once you meet your daily goal, you're going to be done, okay? I fully believe that you can write your own ticket with that, okay? And you know what? You can prove me right or prove me wrong absolutely free, because the free trial is free. 5 full days. Okay. We give you every tool we have, every data feed, every chart, every layout. The only thing you don't get on the free trial, you don't get access to the partners meeting on Thursday night. Okay. That is reserved for partners only. But for 1 week, you get to see it all. And it can be a little overwhelming because there's a lot there, and we use a lot of terminology that you're not familiar with, and we use time frames you're not familiar with, and we use indicators that you're not familiar with. But the good news is that during that time period, we encourage your questions. There'll be another Q&A session this afternoon. Those of you who are involved in the 5-day mentoring program, you already have the link to the Q&A session this afternoon. It's at 3:15 Chicago time, 4:15 Eastern. I'll be there to answer any questions that you might have. My good friend Bert will join me if he's available. I don't know if Michael will be there or not, but between myself and Bert, whatever questions you have, whether it's about the setup, about the platform, about the indicators, about opening account, minimum funding, commissions, whatever it is, you come and you bring your questions, okay? If you can dial in, that's great because I can unmute your mic and we can just have a conversation. We don't have to do all the typing. Or maybe you have a headset. That's fine too. Here's the thing. If you don't have access to a phone with unlimited long distance or you don't have a headset, then come anyway because you can type it in just like you do during the radio show. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. We will start promptly at 3:15 Chicago time, and we will end promptly at 4:15 Chicago time. If you're on the five-day mentoring program right now, and if for some reason you don't have the link, it is on the blog, right here, 30-minute Q&A session, okay? Or you can just email me support@cfrn.net and say, hey, I'd like to get in there, ask a couple of questions, and I'll send you the link, okay? All right. That there is going to do it for me. There's a question in the question box that says, if we do go lower, what do you think is the potential for today? If we do go lower. Okay, I was looking for this pullback right here, but that didn't get hit. So where's the next pullback? Well, you know what? Let's see. The value here was $1,311.99. You can't sell $1,311.99, but you have to round that down to $1,311.75. So if you did that and you had a market if touched order on, then you got filled. If you don't know what that is, if you don't know what market if touched is, then come this afternoon to the Q&A session and we'll break it down. We'll show it to you. So if you got filled at the 1375, the low so far is 13. See, the high here, 1311.75. The low here, 1310.25. So the trade has gone 1.5 points from the entry up here already. And don't look at that and go, well, wait a minute, but it didn't touch. Okay, let me explain one more time. See the reading, 1311.99? You got to round it down to 1311.75 because you can't sell 99. Okay? And if you're using a market if touched order, then all price has to do is touch 1311.75 and you're filled. Now, will you typically pay one tick of slippage for the benefit of getting of a guaranteed fill? Yes. Do you have to trade it market if touched? No, you don't. You can use a limit. You can wait for it to pull back and touch, and then you can attempt to enter on a stop. When you do that, you're going to give up part of the trade as you attempt to get your, in this case, sell on a stop triggered. But from a bigger picture, look at the hourly. We're sitting on top of a weekly trading zone. Okay, we traded down to a low here at 08.25. We bounced right back up. We've got 20 minutes left in this hourly candle. So where this candle closes, either below the weekly zone or above, that's going to give you some indication of where the afternoon may go. If it closes back above this trend line, see, people say, well, that trend line's violated, so it's no good anymore. No. By the time this candle closes, it could be back above the trend line. Okay? And so then you still have a valid trend line. If you close below it, then what I expect quite often is a retest. In other words, let's say we do close below that trend line. Let's say we close down here. It would not surprise me at all. It's called a trader VIC. That's the name of this little technique. Price will close down here, and then it'll pop up, and it'll test the bottom side of this trend line, and then it'll get cooking on the downside. Does that always happen? No, but it happens an awful lot. And if you start watching for it, you'll start seeing it when it happens, as it happens. All right? So as far as going lower, back to the original question, the next weekly trading zone down is 96.97. As we can see, we had good support there yesterday. The market took us substantially higher. Today's Thursday, so this is Wednesday, this is Tuesday. On Monday, see, as we rallied up, came back, 96.97 was good support. There's Tuesday. On Wednesday, 96.97 was once again good support. And on these three pullbacks, the 13.10, 13.11 weekly zone has been good support. If broken, here's what you got to do. Look left. Look at this swing low. 1306, there's a potential for support there. People were willing to step in and buy and support the market last night at 1306. In fact, you'll notice that this hourly candle has a lot of tail, and the body is somewhat smaller at the top, so that's bullish. So expect that people at 1306 could come back to take more action here on the upside. Now, if 1306 does give way, now there's really nothing else in the way, and a break of 1306, I would anticipate that we move down to this zone 96.97. So that's about a 9 to 10 point trade on the downside. Okay? But the trade hasn't set up yet. Okay. It's still trying to work itself out. Over here from this entry at 1311.75, we've traded to a low of 1311.25, so a point and a half. Okay. And as long as the MA1 stays below the BBC, we still look for lower prices. It's not until it crosses to the upside or crosses to the downside that we look for the direction of the market to change. See here, it's coming right back down again. Now this went 1.5 points. If you were holding out for 2 points, you may still get it. You may not. It's a problem where we get into, well, I don't get into, but often people want to get into predicting the future. Well, if I can't take 2 points out of this trade, then I don't want nothing. You know, just give me 2 points or give me nothing. Well, that's an approach. But when you see price struggling at a particular area, you know what? You can always take something off the table because another trade will come along. Just like this trade came along, and this trade came along. Wherever you might choose, you had 2 shots of getting out with better than a point so far. And again, we're still bearish until the MA1 gets back above the BBC. Just a very simple setup. Not using a bunch of filters, not looking at the advanced decline line to try to read into the future. I mean, I'm not saying those things are not valuable. And if you have a history with those and read those well, and they are beneficial to your trading, goodness gracious, I would want you to use anything that you have a good handle on that benefits your bottom line. But what I see more often than not are people who are trying to look at too many things, trying to find too much correlation and too much validation for a simple equation. The market's either going to go up or it's going to go down. And in the process of making a substantial move one way or the other, it's going to do a little bit of both. Okay? The average swing on the S&P 500 E-mini futures, you've heard us say this for years, is 3 to 5 points. We are not trying to call the top or the bottom of that move. Our goal is simply to scoop 2 points out of the middle. And if we do that once a day, then we're happy campers. So with that said, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to run. I think I'm going to lay down. This thing, see, it's still trying to come down. So from 1311, the entry, 1311.75. So that would be 1309.50. Oh, so it already gave you 2 points. Right? No. Oh, Michael, where are you when I need you to do the math? 1311.75. Okay, but because you were doing market if touched, number one, you had to round this down. Then you did a market if touched. So your actual fill was 1311.5. And it's gone down to 1309. Okay, so this trade has already moved. Two and a half points. Now remember earlier today, either on the show or in the live trading room, I talked about our friend Michael, who David brought up today, who trades an enormous number of contracts, 10,000 plus a day, has a seat on the exchange but trades from his office electronically, wakes up every day with a goal of making $1 million. He doesn't make $1 million every day. I don't know how often he does or doesn't. That's just the carrot that he hangs out there in front of himself. You know, something to pursue. That's his goal. And but with all that money and all those contracts, in the last two interviews, I said, Michael, define a good day. Tell us what for you, and that's not any of the Michaels you heard today. This is the other Michael. You can Google him, Michael X, or Michael, yeah, Michael X CFRN. It'll bring up all the interviews. And just a humble, quiet guy, you know. You would think someone with that kind of money, trading that kind of volume, would be, you know, pounding their chest and patting their back. But he's not like that at all. He's a very mellow kind of a guy, very low-key. And when asked, when pressed, what's a good day for you? I know a lot of people were surprised. I wasn't. But his answer was, any day that I net a couple points out of the S&P 500 E-mini futures, I'm very happy. Now, he's also a guy who trades pretty much bell to bell because he thrives on it. He enjoys it. He likes pushing that thing around, and that's what he does. So maybe you become that person over time. But if you're new to the world of trading, if you're getting your feet wet, you're learning the business. I'm not saying you can't be in the demo account doing whatever, but if you're just starting to trade live, you know, take something from the experience of a man, not myself, but Michael that I'm talking about, the big trader with the deep pockets, okay? He pushes around all those contracts all day long. But at the end of the day, if he's netted 2 points, he is very happy. That's a good day for him. So if it's good enough for him, maybe it's good enough for you. And I know the initial response is, well, yeah, it's okay for him because he's trading so many contracts. But I can only afford to trade X number of contracts, and at 2 points, that won't pay my bills. Well, why not just learn to be very, very consistent at getting those 2 points, okay? And then as time goes, because if you ask him, how did you become such a large trader? His answer is, well, I started out as a small trader. And as I made money, a little bit of money, I increased the number of contracts I traded, and I just kept increasing the number of contracts I traded until I'm at where I am now. The first time I interviewed him, I think he was averaging 1,000 to 5,000. I think it was more around 1,000 contracts a day. By the time we did the second interview, it was up to 5. And by the third, I think it was up to 10. And I think I heard David mention today 15 to 20. Okay, so I'm not telling you this story to convince you to figure out to go borrow money from Aunt Ethel so that you can trade a bunch of contracts. I'm not. Believe me, I'm not. What I'm trying to do is to encourage you to have a realistic expectation and to understand that the ability to consistently take a couple points a day out of the market is a very powerful thing. And you can put that to work for yourself tomorrow. CFRN.net/apply. That's how you take the free trial. If your free trial is about to expire and you want to become a partner, there's still time to get your paperwork done before the partners meeting tonight. You should have an email from Michael. If you can't find it, email us support@CFRN.net and we'll make sure your paperwork gets done in time so that you can be in the partners meeting tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.